Cycle. Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. Comedian, business owner, bearded American.
It's Wednesday day.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the, what is it, Greg?
The No Sour Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
I think I screwed it up every single time I've said it. That's since fine. Since you came up with that last week. This is the 1 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin, where we have way more fun. We talk about human interest stories, people who are doing good in the world, and no better person than our guest for this segment to talk about the good he is doing in the world and his organization is doing in the world, specifically in Milwaukee. But Brad Tschaikowski, did I say it right?
That's close enough.
Close enough. All right. Who is the co-founder of Courage MKE is joining us because I had read recently, I think this was this month, that you, Courage MKE, just bought a new building. Which is very exciting. There you go. And so I am very excited to talk about that. But let's start from the beginning and tell people who are unfamiliar what Courage MKE is.
Sure. Courage MKE is an organization to fuel a collaborative movement to ensure our LGBTQ plus youth around our state have the tools and resources needed to survive. You know, we started it because we were foster parents. We were hearing stories of teenage girls that would come in and out of my husband and my home, of the bullying or the rejection or the horrific stories that they had because of who they were, who they loved. And so we decided we wanted to open a home for displaced LGBT youth. So this house has been open since March of 2019. Our goal has always been to open more throughout the state. But as we're finding over the last 4 years is that the state is sending these kids here to Milwaukee, which is providing them an opportunity to be in a community that is more accepting of them. I mean, we have kids that come from northern Wisconsin where there are no resources for anyone, really, there, right?
Even the adults.
There is nothing.
Right. So what we did learn, though, in the last 4 years is that when our residents are aging out of the social welfare system, or we get calls every single week from young adults that are over 17, that when they age out, there's very little to no resources provided to them. You know, these children have been in the system sometimes since they were infants. So they've been through foster homes, residential treatment centers, group home. The average stay in the state of Wisconsin, I think, for a group home right now for 12 to 17 is approximately 35 days. So every 35 days, these kids are moving house to house. So regardless of the trauma that they experienced from whenever they were with their families, I would have to argue that moving around every 35 days is also a very traumatic experience. You know, we're very proud that our average stay for 2022 was 170 days for our kids, you know. But our goal with this new house that we purchased on Monday is to start.
Frozen. Well, maybe we should see if we can give Brad a call because unfortunately it was going so well. It was going so well.
And now he's stuck.
Brad, if you can hear us, it is frozen. Your computer's frozen right now, but it's if you want to call us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. We can put you in through the phone and continue the conversation. But in the meantime, until we get your internet back or get you on the phone, I wanted to just talk. I think it's so interesting as far as exactly what he's talking about, because there's the intersectionality, if we can use that word, for this specifically, because I think there's so much about the fact that, Brad, are you back?
I'm back.
There
I'm sorry.
Back.
I'm
Yay. You know, the internet, not always the most reliable thing in the world. Sorry. So with the new, you got cut off right at the new house purchased on Monday and the goal of it.
Yep. So we're going to offer supported independent living. You know, if this current house that we have right now, our staff are I don't like to use the word, but they're parental figures, right? We're dealing with minors, and they are parental figures. For this next phase, a lot of when kids move into independent living now, they're moved into a random apartment building where there's a contract with the county, and a social worker comes and checks on them once a month, and here's a list.
And we're stuck again.
Stuck again. Do we have his number? Okay. Brad, we're going to ask you to call. If we'll probably just have him come back. If we can't get him during this segment, we'll have him come back for the next segment, because I think this is super interesting.
Absolutely.
And super important to continue talking about what they're doing. But I also, you know, it goes back to the conversation we had with Natalie Eilbert on the couple conversations that we've had as far as in Wisconsin, kids who, minors, can't advocate for themselves in medical situations where they
just
need
shocking.
Their parents.
Yes.
But it's also the fact that when we also talk about only a couple weeks ago, when we were talking with Sarah Harrison about certainly what's happening in the Waukesha school district, but also in other school districts, of these like mandatory outing of young kids, and the problem being the fact that not all kids are necessarily in the situation where their parents are going to be supportive. And so, Brad, we got you back. Do you want to give us a call and we can talk to you on the phone, so that will be a hard line?
You know what? I was using Wi-Fi. I hardwired in.
Okay.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. And we're going to keep you through the break because this is so interesting that I don't want to make sure we cut it short.
Yeah.
And so
great.
We were talking
so
about
sorry.
No.
Stop being so Midwestern.
The fact that the difference with the new house is supported adult living. Yes. Independent
living. Yes. So our we'll have a staff member there 24/7, but they're there to be a safety net, right? So I don't know about you, but I moved out of my parents' house when I was 18, and I was back by the time I was 19, right? Thought I was ready, not so much.
I think I did that at 34 too.
So we want to give these kids the opportunity, right? It'll be like a dorm-like setting, if you can imagine it. Every bedroom will have its own lock. They'll have their own key for that. They'll have a key to a pantry in the kitchen to store their own food. And there will be a lot of things separate. But the lower level is all common space, library, or, you know, quiet area, TV area, computer area, or whatever. But we're trying to help these kids build a sense of community, right? A lot of folks in the LGBT community don't have family. So it is our hope that as we're teaching them life skills on how to be ready to be an adult, perhaps they make relationships in this community living situation that can last them a lifetime and be supportive for each other, and maybe move out together successfully after their time at C2 Apartments. You know, the number one priority is that we get a high school diploma, right? Or equivalent. Mm-hmm. If they're not doing that and they're working already, then we are going to ask for a percentage of their paycheck. But that goes into a separate account, and they'll monitor that with their case manager every other week, because what we'll do is we'll save that money for when they're ready to move out. They'll have a nest egg for a security deposit, a first month's rent, and then they don't have to worry about that, right?
Yeah.
When we talk about the system being broken, we can keep saying those words, but until we take action, like you having me on this show, or all of our 8,005 whatever followers and supporters for the Courage family, we are a community funded organization. Folks are taking action by trusting us to do the work. And when we say we have to change the system, this is the opportunities that we have to give these kids that didn't have the opportunities that many of us had growing up.
Well, and it's so many things as far as there's so many, even when you have available parents, like planning financially, that's something that we don't teach in school. And so there's so many like life skills that even of parents who are involved and sometimes can't even teach you. And so that exactly what you just said is like, we take money so that they are set up for later is so simple and yet so overlooked.
Right. Right. I mean, I have 5 of my own children and I don't even necessarily do all that.
You heard it here first, folks.
Brad is a terrible father.
Canceled.
Brad, can you share some of the other skills? I just don't think people appreciate what these kids are lacking and missing out on, again, when they're moving every 30 days or, you know, and they're like, why aren't they ready to go be adults when they get out of their foster care
system? They're 18.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's so many things. One of them is so simple. It's just creating memories, right? Happy memories. So many of these kids that are going through the system, there are not a lot of fond memories, right? Being a child of the system. I mean, I've taken 15, 16, 17-year-old kids to the zoo for the first time in their life. Right. But we're teaching them to make our beds, what it means to do chores. Right. We pay the kids here to just like you and I would pay our kids to do chores. The kids can earn money here to do chores. You know, and it's sometimes they're just hanging out while we cook and sometimes they're cooking. But either way, they're learning. They're learning that you have to do your laundry every other couple of days. They're learning that you have to take a shower every single day, or I'll even take three times a week at this point some days. But, you know, it's just those life skills that we're taught growing up from our parents, that when you're a product of the system and are just being moved around so often, you're not always taught those things.
And so with just to clarify, as far as the young people who, I guess, is qualify the right word, or the people who end up either going to be living in the independent living or have lived in the current house, is it the combination of both going through the foster care system and is LGBTQ, or is it also some kids who are just LGBTQ and just don't have a family unit, and so they're looking for community?
So for the house that's 18 to 24, they don't have to be aging out of the social welfare system. They can already be homeless or in a situation where they need housing. But both houses, that's our only requirement, is that they fall under the LGBTQ umbrella some way, shape, or form, even if they're questioning their identity or their gender. It's just to give them a safe space to explore it and live themselves authentically, because we believe that in order to heal themselves, they have to be themselves, right? There's so much trauma and therapy to go through. And if we're having this block of sexual identity or orientation being what's hindering us from chipping away at that trauma, then we're never going to be successful.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to keep you through the break, like I said. And so Brad Schlykowski is the co-founder of Courage MKE. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation as all the good things that they're doing. And also, I think, just interested in how this, I think what you're doing is such a solution for some of the other problems that we're seeing with our youth in Wisconsin. And so I'm excited to dive into that a little bit deeper. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Brad Schlykowski, there we go, who is the co-founder of Courage MKE, which is a program in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, that helps house and help and a collaborative effort for LGBTQ youth. And one of the, I think, relevant, and probably you have way more firsthand experience with this, is recently across Wisconsin, different school districts are passing, or at least proposing, rules at different schools where teachers would be forced to out their students if they were to want different want to be referred to as different pronouns, or be questioning what their identity is, and being forced, the teachers having to tell the parents. And I had a conversation with my husband, who is a very supportive, lovely human, who his initial reaction, he's like, well, why wouldn't I want to know that? I would want to help them. I was like, yeah, because not everyone's like you, Mike. And the situation being where that's problematic is parents who do not have a good reaction, and it is not a safe space for kids to necessarily come out to their parents. And I would imagine that is something you see the after effects of a lot of those kids who can't necessarily go home.
Absolutely. I'll tell you that I grew up in a pretty supportive family, right? However, I didn't come out until I was 32 after I'd been married with children, right? So if a teacher outing a child, they're supposed to be like four main groups you're supposed to be able to trust as a child, right? A teacher, a doctor, your parent, or an authoritative figure, like a police officer, right? Mm-hmm. If I can't go to one of those people and feel safe, what do I have? Who do I have left? And they just took a whole bunch of those away for these children. You know, I read with those rules that they have to have parental consent, right, to use a different name other than they were born. Well, then if a child's name is Christine, I better not hear a teacher say Chris. If a child's name is Tom Jr., I better not hear them say TJ without a written letter from the parent saying that, yes, you can call my child that, right? And because I don't think it's going to happen. Because it is always that catch 22, not only with LGBT rights, with women's rights, with racial injustices and everything, right? If it doesn't serve them, it's everything is fine. But we deal with that all the time. I deal with that with our kids here right now that we have at our group home that come from other places, establishments, group homes, wherever, or even school, where the adult figures are misgendering them on purpose. Adults being mean to adults is one thing, but adults being mean to children, that's barbaric. That there's no other word for that than barbaric. I can't imagine being a 43-year-old man going after a 15-year-old kid thinking that I won. What a coward.
Absolutely.
I don't even know what else to say.
And Brad, I think it's important too. I don't think people recognize when kids are rejected by their own family that there can be violence involved with this rejection.
Severe violence. There's when that trauma comes out in whatever way, whatever triggers that moment for that child, you don't know if a plates are going to get thrown. You don't know if a desk is going to get flipped. And it's not because that child is a bad child. It's just because that child has this rage of emotion going through them that because their innocence was taken away so soon. Right. And they were never taught how to process that.
And I'm also saying, Brad, that Their families can be violent towards them if they come out.
Violent or just completely, you're out on the front porch. You can't live here anymore. And we've seen that as well.
So in the couple minutes we have left, I definitely want to get the information out there for anyone who's hearing this who wants to help. Because as you said, it is a community supported organization. Yeah. And so I certainly want to help. So how can I do that?
We love volunteers, right? But we can only have so many volunteers in a house with kids. This is their home, so we don't want to make it like a zoo, right? But financial support is always so very much needed. You know, the state only can give so much per child, but to give the level of we care that we give, it's because of the generosity of the community. And if anyone is feeling generous and wanting to be part of the Courage family, you can go to gives.couragemke.org to support us. Follow us on all socials. There are fundraisers and events that throughout the year. Our gala is in November. It's my favorite day of the year over our birthday, just because our whole Courage family comes together in one space and we celebrate the success that we're doing. But if there's one thing that I'd ask anyone listening to do is to tell three more people about Courage MKE today, right? That's how you create a movement, and that's how we create change, is by educating each other.
Absolutely. And we'll certainly tag you in everything when we post this interview later today, because I think even knowing that the resource is available and knowing if a young person comes in your life and you don't know how you can help them, but as far as yes, being able to access resources that I'm sure are available, or at least information that is available through Courage, just how important and how much of a difference that can make. Because sometimes you just don't even know where to turn or where to go.
Right. The answer is always a lot of times the answer can be answered with a hug, right? And whether that's connecting someone with a resource or literally giving them a hug, sometimes that's all we need to get through a day.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Brad Schlaikowski, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's such a great organization. You're doing so much good work. We need more people like you and your husband, who you also co-founded this with. I can't wait to share everything and learn more and see what events are coming up. And maybe we'll even make it to the gala in November.
I'd love a reason to dress up.
I was going to go, but then I found out tickets were sold out immediately. And I was like, oh.
Sorry.
We'll have to go to the early bird list. All right, Brad, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank all three of you. Have a great day.
You too. As well.
All right, bye-bye. When we come back, a conversation about body neutrality. What is that even? We'll find out.
Ugh, that sounds like Tucker Carlson.
This is Ask Us Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Mr. Greg Bach is on the drums, apparently. And Jane Van Der just made Greg Bach's day with that. What song was that?
That was Self-Esteem by The Offspring.
Look at that. Wow. Well done.
That is peak high school for me.
Is it?
Oh my gosh. The Offspring, Soundgarden, they were on the radio all the time in high school. Like all about a bunch of other bands. But for some reason, those two bands, every time I hear them, I think high school.
One of the last pieces of advice on the 100 ways to improve your life slightly without really trying was re-listen to the records of your youth in high school.
I would put a little caveat on them, but don't listen to them too much. Find new stuff.
Okay.
Because I think sometimes people, they lock onto those, that music, those things that bring you into nostalgia. And I think nostalgia can be a dangerous thing.
Interesting. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's not the topic for this segment, though. This segment. So I came across this headline, and I thought it was interesting. Body neutrality, what it is and how it can help lead to more positive. Let me read it again. Woo! It's been a lot going on.
She's got a little bit of bourbon in her coffee.
Or a little too much caffeine. We'll see. Body neutrality, what it is and how it can help lead to more positive body image. Now, I, as someone who openly talks about the times when I was in LA, had a terrible eating disorder. I think now in a lot of ways with age for me, I still care, but it doesn't consume me like it did. But like working in an industry where your body is always looked at and having, so it's like these headlines and kind of the discussion around looks and body and how we talk about it and how we feel about it. Like I'm always drawn to it because I have such a personal experience with it, but I also am convinced that almost all of us do.
I agree.
And that, like, I can say without any shame that I had a eating disorder, but I also know very few women and even men who don't have disordered eating or didn't have a time in their life where they had disordered eating and just called it a diet. And it's interesting because as far as what I understand, body neutrality instead of body positivity, because I think when you think body positivity, we think celebrating your body no matter what size. And, you know, then the backlash will be that doesn't look healthy. Like Lizzo's not healthy, even though she's a vegan and I would dare anyone to do what she does on stage for 2 hours and still be able to sing on key. But that's another question. But like kind of the difference between what this body positivity movement and what body neutrality means and what I understand it in reading this is just treating your body as your body, and adjectives to describe your body should the goal being not to have positive or negative connotations with those words, but it's just descriptors. Mm-hmm. Like I am tall. That is an objective fact that for a woman at 5'10", I am well above average.
You are tall potatoes.
I am tall potatoes. And so I threw this out as a potential topic and you jumped on it.
Yes, I did.
So what are your feelings about this?
Well, a little bit of background really quick. From anyone who knows me knows that I used to, and I would still like to bring this back, used to host a podcast with my friend Carly Mallison called 8 Months Away from Being Fat Again. It was a health and wellness podcast about body image, body positivity, but all the things that go into what we're talking about here. And so I did a lot of research and studying and found out a lot about myself. It was supposed to be like a podcast about like, all right, we're going to get in shape. Hmm. And then we realized, okay, we're not talking about getting in shape. We're talking about getting thin, and there's a difference. And that goes, and so like when you say something about, when you say body positivity, the first thing I think about is a Dove soap commercial. Hmm. I think of a corporatization of a term that is being used to get money out of people to make them feel good about themselves in a moment. At the end of the day, we all do struggle with some sort of body image issue, and everybody is valid, and everybody, you know, I hope that it's not as much as some other people. But when I see something like body neutrality, I think that's also cool. You know, it's about being okay with it. You know, this is who I am. This is the person. This is the person in my skin, and I'm doing the best I can to work towards being okay with that if that's who you want to be. I think body neutrality might be harder than body positivity, because you can wake up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror and go, dang, I look good. And you're looking at yourself with some rolls or maybe some body hair or some stretch marks or whatever that may be, but you're like, I'm embracing this. I think it's harder to say I'm okay with this, because what you're doing is you are giving yourself credit and you are giving yourself leeway to just be okay. And that is very hard to do. It's very hard to look at yourself in the mirror and not feel one thing or the other, whether it's high or low, but just to look at yourself in the mirror and go, I like this person. We're good. I whatever. I don't want to say whatever, but just this sense of I am at peace with who I am.
So you feel like, I mean, I don't know how much of these are movements. We're using that word loosely as far as how people are prescribing to a certain mindset when it comes to how they feel about themselves. But you're saying that you think body positivity is more beneficial than kind of what's described here as far as body neutrality, which is just it's lowering the expectations that you just have to love your body all the time.
Yeah. I think we should strive for body neutrality, be okay with ourselves, wake up in the morning, see ourselves, be okay with the person, put on our clothes, go to work, do your thing. I think body positivity isn't a bad thing as long as you're not buying into the hype, the special commercials, the products, all that jazz. And you can feel good about yourself. Okay, nerd. You can feel good about yourself. You can be happy about yourself. You can put yourself out in the world. I think you can take off your shirt for the first time ever, take a picture of yourself and put it on Instagram and still be body neutral because you are okay with that. I think body positivity also has a dark side to it because it almost feels like you have to love yourself at all costs or lie or push yourself to be in a place you're not there yet. You know, it's like I said, I see it more as a corporate mentality than an actual mental movement. That's just me. That's just because I suffer with a host of body image issues. Mm-hmm. And I have since I was a little boy. And for me, when someone tells me like, you need to love your body, I'm like, you need to shut up. Okay. You want to pay my
shut your face. You're like the announcer from the WAA basketball game. You're like, shut up and do it yourself.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just think it's so easy for people to be like, you should love yourself. Well, yeah, you're right. I should. But that takes mountains of therapy. So let me just work on being okay with myself. I just think body neutrality is something that is, I think that's a place to strive for. I think neutrality, that word has a bad rap to it too, because it almost seems like you're like, eh, whatever. I don't think so. I think it's saying I'm good. And to think about that, close your eyes, think about that. Close your eyes and just say, I'm good.
I am good.
There you go.
But I think there's two, there's the inward and there's the outward of this conversation, where it's like the in to out, the like starting on the inside for your own, how you feel about yourself and the work and the therapy and everything to be like in this world,
gesticulating wildly
that even with things that are corporate ploys to make you feel included are still just ploys to get you to buy something.
Yeah.
Being like body positivity, Dove commercials, or even any, I mean,
no,
it's the combination of the plus size mannequins.
Mm-hmm.
And is that inclusive? Is that just trying to widen the audience of who's going to buy stuff? But also, like, so there's like the inner work of how you apply what works for you to basically limit self-hatred. But that self-hatred comes from a society where we have beauty, there's beauty standards.
Yeah.
And even in the world of like, how do you talk to other people about their looks? And like what you said, as far as like, no, you should love yourself. Like, what would be is the better reaction just not to say anything about people's looks?
I think, you know, if I'm never going to comment on, like, if I saw you, if you came into the office and you were wearing a particularly smart outfit that I enjoyed, I would say something like that. I love your outfit. You look great in that outfit.
It's really peachy keen.
It really peachy. Thank you, Jane. Thank you. But what
this
I'm,
is a little pe- it's
but
a little
what
peachy.
I'm not going to do, and what I try not to do, because this is the thing, is to say to someone like, oh, you've lost weight. That is a loaded statement that can bring out a lot of feels. I probably talked about this before. I am a person who's lost and gained hundreds upon hundreds of pounds. And people think that just because you've lost weight means you can handle the compliments. And that brings on a lot of issues. It can bring on a lot of negative thoughts. It can bring on a lot of problems. I think when we're talking about people, like, I think it's best to go even deeper and be like, and this speaks to our ability to speak to our friends and to really have a connection. Be like, Kristen, I think you're amazing. I think you're an amazing person. I love you. I love what you think. I love the way you act in society. Like, you can compliment people, but go deeper and make them feel good about who they are as a person, not what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not who we are as a society. I mean, someone can look at you and be like, you can model, but you've seen what models who look like you look like, and you know how you can and can't. Just like with plus size models, people are like, oh, we have plus size models. Yeah, because they're perfectly of that size. They fit all the criteria. I don't. So when I see plus size models, I'm like, oh, cool. There's another group of people I don't belong to.
What is the size of plus size model men?
Mostly we're like stocky, tall, taller than me, actually. Like plus size, usually they're like between like 6'2 and 6'5. And just big, broad. Like, I know I'm a big guy, but even compared to some of these guys, I'm not big. But also the other thing too is, what do you look like with little clothing on you? Are you a smooth bodied person? Do you have scars on your body? Do you have body hair? Like, the whole thing that gets all taken into account. So,
and it's also, but I think there's I was trying to think of this as what I said, almost every woman I know has some sort of disordered eating or something on their body that they hate. And it's their, and it's not always just weight, right? It's like short arms,
mm-hmm.
short legs, you know, a flat butt.
Yeah.
And there's like, it's all these little tiny things that we decide to nitpick on that is, you know, and I think that's the thing. It's like, can it only ever come back to doing the internal work of being okay with it? Because society is just not going to change. Like, we just live in a consumerist capitalist society where sex sells and looks sell, and study all the social science points to, if you're pretty, tall, thin, like, you are more successful, people treat you differently. Like, so is the, whether we call it body positivity, whether we call it body neutrality, is the only way forward is like, well, you got to do the work if you're not going to hate yourself.
I agree. Yes, you have to do the work, and you can't even rely on your friends. Not saying your friends aren't good people. I'm saying you cannot be good with yourself. You cannot feel good about yourself until you truly feel good about yourself. You know, you can't let the other people make you feel good about you. Because if you don't, then that's, you're building a structure on a very bad platform. And you will feel good, but then when you go home at night and you're alone, you will start thinking about all those things. And men think about that stuff too, not as much as women. I understand that. And
but I think about men, certainly what you were just speaking in for your personal experience, but yeah. I also think about like how we treat short men.
Yes.
And how quickly we are, the short man complex.
The dad bod complex too.
Dad bod complex and stuff. And it's not as pervasive, but I think there's a reason where, is it the chicken or the egg, as far as like the short man complex, where it's like, it's kind of true to a certain extent with mm-hmm. some shorter guys, but is it true because jerks like us keep saying that it's true?
Well, it's
like,
because,
oh, you're just a little guy.
It's because for so, yes, because of the language you use, because of, for so long the standard was a guy needs to be tall, dark, and handsome.
Still is. I mean, yeah. I know plenty of women who will not date guys who are shorter than them.
Yeah. So I don't think it's up to us as a society to tell shorter men, like, what's up, short king? If I was shorter, I'd be like, don't ever call me that.
Yeah.
That is you. That's you low hand insulting me for something I have no control over. You're not praising me. You're using a momentary popular term to address me. And at the end of the day, I still face certain criticisms, still scrutinies. Same thing with the dad bod thing. I could go on hours about dad bods. I think it's one of the, I hate that term. Because when we think of dad bod, we think of Jason Momoa not working out for 2 months. We're like, oh, he's got a dad bod. No, he doesn't. He has a DC built body that he hasn't worked out for a couple months. And oh my God, you can't see his ass.
He has water retention. Let's be serious. Yeah, all right. So. Well, when we come back, this show flew by. When we come back, what's going on at the Laughing Tap? We're going to talk about it. Stick around. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
Why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz, I'm gonna rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. And all that jazz.
Love that.
Welcome
movie.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach, who is always here on Wednesdays with us because we love him. And he is very funny. And then, of course, we have Gene Metnair on the board. And this is the time on the Monday, on the Wednesday shows when we plug what's happening at the Laughing Tap this weekend, because we want to support local comedy and support local comedy clubs. So what's going on?
This weekend at the Laughing Tap, we have the incomparable, the wonderful, the hilarious Dulce Sloan of The Daily Show. Dulce is currently a correspondent on The Daily Show. And we'll be returning to the Laughing Tap. She was here last year as well. And she'll be returning this year for four shows, two Saturday, two Friday. Saturday early is sold out. Friday early is almost sold out. So grab tickets for those late shows, 10 o'clock. That's when the magic happens, folks. I mean, all the shows are going to be great. But, man, those late shows. Ooh.
And how much are tickets, Greg?
$20. Thanks for asking,
but
Jane.
But that is truly a steal.
And no drink minimum.
And I think that's the thing, because usually... I mean, I don't know if I've been to another comedy club besides like open mics in the back of a bar somewhere in New York. But
why,
like,
do you hate yourself?
Well, yeah. But the most places you have to have at least two drinks.
Yeah, we are one of the only comedy clubs in the country that does not require a two drink or two item minimum.
Why did you guys decide to go that route?
A couple reasons. One, I feel, and if there are other comedy clubs listening to this, I apologize, but this is our belief, is that is a huge imposition to put on a person. Because let's say you and Mike... you're going to go out to see a show at the Laughing Tap. That's $40 right there. Then I'm going to tell you, all right, you now have to drink two drinks apiece. That is at least $10 more. That's at least $20 more. That is $60. If you have to park it, pay for it, that's something. If you had kids, pay for a babysitter, that can really add up in cost. What we do is we give you a night of comedy. And we also find that most people, when not given a minimum, they drink two drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a comedy club recently. I won't name any names. But there was a two-drink minimum.
Is that a local one?
Sort of. and I partook in non-alcoholic options for my two-drink minimums, and I enjoyed a $4.50 glass of lemonade. So that's what happens when there's minimums.
Was it good?
It was.
Was it lemonade?
It was Minute Maid.
Fancy home.
It was
brewed,
an old country
home squeezed.
Time. It was no, there was definitely, that was no, nothing had been squozen. We just feel that a two drink minimum can put a little bit of a hamper on the evening, especially in those off times when people don't have a good time. They're like, oh my gosh, I shelled out how much money for the show I hated. But most people who come love it. And one of the things they do tell us is that our ticket prices are competitive, and the two drink minimum really, the lack of two drink minimum really is something they enjoy. So, so we have Dulce coming. Tickets are available. www.laughingtap.com. Jane, do we have a clip?
We got a clip.
I'm in my 30s. Don't tell my manager. I'm in my 30s. And my best friend, she tried to warn me. She's like, listen, when you turn 30, your body's going to freak out. And I was like, lies, bitch, lies. And then I turned 30. Then my biological clock went from snooze to European techno. So now, every time I see a child, I just hear, bang, bang, have a baby. Bang, it's awesome. Bang, it'll love you. Wait a minute. I have things to do today, okay?
That is Dulce Sloan.
Dulce Sloan.
And so she's been on The Daily Show for a while. I feel like she's almost first since 2018.
I think since Trevor. I mean, like, I feel like Trevor took over in 2016, somewhere around that time. Yeah, she's been on for quite a while.
Have you watched Daily Show at all since he's left?
I actually was watching D.L. Hughley's week this week, and I watched a little bit of Leslie Jones. I'm trying to see where each guest host is taking it. And, you know.
What have your thoughts been so far?
It's been fine, you know. I mean, I don't understand why, like, they're like, fall, the new host comes. I'm like, sheesh, that's a long time.
Oh. Oh, that's what they said? So yeah. It's basically guest hosts until the fall?
Yeah, yeah.
1 week at a time?
Yeah, and honestly,
a lot of guest hosts.
I'm not getting attached to anyone really because, like, D.L. Hughley's not going to take it. Leslie Jones isn't going to take it. These are people with real schedules. You need somebody who can devote their life to this, move to New York, and like this becomes one of the reasons why Trevor Noah said he left the show was because couldn't really do stand up that much anymore, and that's something he loves.
I mean, I think about it even as us doing a daily show.
Yeah,
and granted, the stakes are a little bit lower than the Daily Show and the jokes and the clips and how produced that show is.
Yeah.
But it is no joke.
No.
And so the team, whether it's the Daily Show, and granted they do 4 days a week, but I think about this all the time with late night shows and the booking that goes into it, or the Today News shows and stuff like that, as far as the jokes that have to be written, the flow of the show, the prepping of, you know, because it's, I'm sorry, Trevor Noah and all the people who are like, they don't read all the books that they, when they interview someone.
I think the only person who does is Stephen Colbert, because he can read like a book a day.
Can he really?
Yeah, he's such a nerd.
So smart. And so it's the grind of people who do, I mean, think about how long Jon Stewart did that for.
16 and a half years.
I recently, what was I watching? Was he just awarded some big award?
Mark Twain Prize a couple years ago.
So I think maybe this was when Steve Carell's speech about working with Jon Stewart. And they played the clip of Jon Stewart first addressed the show or came back on the show after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked so young. I was like, oh my gosh, you did that show for so long.
I remember watching that episode. I still to this day, when I watch that clip, I weep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then John Oliver, too. Like, I mean, he only does a show once a week. And like the amount of research that goes into that show is absolutely phenomenal. Also, his clip on the Mark Twain is absolutely hilarious because like I have to assume if we're doing this, Jon Stewart's dead. So I'm just going to do it like this. I'm so sorry that Jon Stewart has passed. It is a great, great piece of television. Just that award ceremony, because it's just some of the funniest people ever. So
John Oliver. Last week tonight, they played a long game on that show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really, it's incredible the amount of work they do.
On issues that you don't think about at all until they say, and you're like, oh, yeah, special districts. Oh, yeah, you know, prosecutors.
Subway. They did an entire episode on what a scam Subway is when it comes to franchisees and like how they run. Yeah, that is my, those two, that show and Daily Show is like the goal. All right.
Creme de la creme.
Yes.
So yes, Dulce Sloan this weekend, two shows on Friday, two shows on Saturday. Saturday night early show sold out. Friday early is almost sold out. Get your tickets, laughingtap.com. Follow us at The Laughing Tap on the social medias.
That's not confusing at all.
Shut up.
All right. And for us, that'll do it. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian or the Chad Holmes
Bye-bye.
Show. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.